Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Zayin today. So I'm going to begin on the bottom line on Lamed Babam Beis, where it says Tana Rabbanan. So the Braisa says Tana Rabbanan ein ofin par ava bePesach debrei Beit Shammai. The Beit Shammai says we think the pshat is that I can't bake a thick loaf. I mean, like a thick matzah on Pesach. We think it's because we're afraid it's going to become chametz. Obviously, if it's thick. In other words, the idea is you mix the flour with the water. It begins the fermentation process. You cook it. It arrests it. But if it's thick, you know, until the heat gets to the middle, it'll take a while. So we think the pshat is the Beit Shammai says you can't cook a pot ava on Pesach, meaning like a very thick matzah, because we're afraid it'll become chametz. On the top line, Lam Zayin Aleph, Mihil permits it. Become a parava, up to how thick would Beit Hillel permit you to cook? Because even Beit Hillel will agree that if it's thick, it's going to be bad news. So Amar Rav Huna Tefach. So Rav Huna says up to a Tefach. A Tefach, they usually say, is like 4 inches. He says, Shekein Matzino B'lechem Apanim Tefach. Because you see the Lechem Apanim, which was the showbread, is where they usually translate it, in the Beis HaMikdash, was one Tefach in thickness. And that was matzah. The lechem upanim was matzah. So the Gemara says on the second line, matkev la Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asks a strong kash against this. Im amru bizri. So the pshat we think, according to Beis Hillel, is that I can cook the pot avon Pesach. I'm not afraid that people will turn into chametz, as long as it's not more than one tefach in thickness. So matkev la Rav Yosef. Im amru bizrizin. Yomru b'shena zrizin. If Chazal teaches us by this reason, the diligent, the zealous, means the konim, are very on top of their game. They're careful with everything. Would they tell it, like the hoi polloi, that they can cook something that is up to a tefach thick? If they said it by paramela, is a dough that's been heavily worked. And Rashi brings down that it would be the first narrow line in Rashi. You have shlosh meot shifa, 300 rubbings, v'chamesh meot be'ita, and then 500 poundings, and it was constantly being worked. So that's less likely that it'll become chametz. So if it's true by there, this is so yomru b'she'en amela, would it necessarily be true b'she'en amela? Im amru b'eitzim yivashim, back in the Gemara, the fifth line, lam zayin amad aleph, 37a, im amru b'eitzim yivashim, if they said it would be true by dry wood in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would, cut the wood, you know, during the summer, and then finish cutting the wood on Tu B'Av, and the wood had to be very dry, so it creates a big fire, very hot fire. He says, Yomru be'etzim lachem. People, though, generally use like moist wood. So he says, Im amru betan racham, if they set it by a hot oven, and it was the Beis HaMikdash using a hot oven, and Rashi brings down every day they would heat it up, and because it would heat up the menachot and lach metoda. He says, Yomru betan ratzonein, would have been necessarily true by a tan ratzonein. In other words, we think that there it more likely become chametz with a tan ratzonein. In other words, till the whole bread gets heated up, it takes longer. Imamru b'tanur shamatechet, if they said it was true by a metal oven, in the Beis HaMikdash they had a metal oven that's hotter, he says, yomru b'tanur shalcheres. So the point is, the fact that, so we think the pshat is that Beis Hillel permits you to make a pot ava up to a tefah thick, because just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they made the lechem upon him, so too, here as well, you could do it, and we're not afraid to become chametz. But the Gemara says, how can you compare? It's like, you know, mixing kasha with mun. In the Beis HaMikdash, they have the konim, they're watching everything, they have a lot of a very hot oven, they're beating the dough. It's like they have a lot of things that would prevent it from becoming chametz too quickly. In your own home, it's much less likely, it's much more likely to become chametz. So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shelid et Rebbe b'yichud. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, I asked my Rebbe, b'yichud, either privately or else explicitly, Umanu Rav. Who's his Rebbe? Rav. Means Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba's Rebbe was Rav. He says, Ikad Amri, others say, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, I'm a Rav, that Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said in the name of Rav, Shelet at Rebbe b'yichud, that Rav asked Rebbe b'yichud. He says, Umanu, who's that Rabbeinu HaKadosh? So he says, so either Rav said this or Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe said this. He says, my pot ava, what's a pot ava? Pot maruba. Means, doesn't mean, skip the pshat we said before, that the issue is nothing to do with chametz. It's nothing to do with making like a thick loaf on Pesach is just a din in Yontiv, is what the Bryce was speaking about. He says, pat ava is pat meruba, meaning making many loaves, cooking them at the same time. He says, v'amai karolei pat ava. Why was it called pat ava? Mishum de nefisha belisha, because you have a big, big blob of dough in order to make the pat ava. So, again, we'll explain in a minute. V'i b'ayema ba'atrei d'haitana le pat meruba pat ava karolei. Or else you could say that in the locality of this Tana, when they would have making many loaves of bread, they would call it pot meruba, they would call it pot ava. So this is my time. So what's the reason why Beit Shammai would hold that you can't make a pot ava? So again, it's nothing to do with chametz. It's just a din in yantiv. So he says, so why is it that Beit Shammai says you can't make a pot ava? He says, imishum de katarach tirchad lo tzarech. So if it's because you don't want to, people shouldn't do a tircha lo tzarech. In other words, if I'm making, let's say I'm making 20 loaves of bread, I only need 5. So that's, I'm gauging in it. So I'm allowed to cook on yantiv, but I shouldn't do a tircha sheino tzarech. I shouldn't do effort that I don't require for yantiv. So, and Beit Hillel holds that the bread tastes better when I cook many loaves together. We'll hear from Odeid in a minute. Maybe he'll weigh in on that. So Beit Shammai is holding that it's tircha d'lo tzarech. So if that's the case, my yiri b'pesach v'lo b'yontav nami. So again, if you look back at the braisa on the bottom line, lamed vav amud beis, where we began today, the braisa said in ofen pat ava b'pesach, and in parentheses we have yontav, but that doesn't belong there. Divrei Beit Shammai. So if it's true by any yontav, why does it say b'pesach? So the Gemara says on the second white line in achinami. This Tanam was studying Hilchot Pesach. He was Osek with Dinim Hilchot Pesach. So it's a Pesach, but it's not a din that relates per se to Pesach, relates to any din in Yantiv. So just a few more lines, then we'll stop, we'll pause, we'll repeat, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a brisa that supports this pshad, Beit Shammai Omrim in Ofen Pat Ava B'Yom Tov. So in this brisa, Beit Shammai says you can't cook a Pat Ava B'Yom Tov. Now we know Pat Ava is a term of art. It means I can't cook many loaves of bread if I don't need to use all the loaves of bread. He says, Beit Hillel Matir, Beit Hillel is Matir it. So again, let's just repeat what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So we learned in the brisa that I can't cook a pot ava b'pesach according to Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel is matir. So initially we thought the pshat was pot ava, a thick loaf, a thick matzah. I can't cook a thick matzah because we thought that Beit Shammai holds more likely to come l'dei chimutz, in other words, more likely to become chametz. And Beit Hillel said no. In the base of Mikdash, they would do it up to a tefach with the lechem apanim, but the Gemara said, you know, it doesn't make any sense because the fact that you're doing the base of mikdash, they have many more guarantees that it wouldn't become chametz in the base of mikdash. Lechem apanim is matzah, so the fact that they would do it up to a tefach thick there doesn't make sense that we would carry that over to a balabas. So the Gemara said, you're right. This price has got nothing to do with chametz. This price is not talking about the thickness of the matzah or the loaf or anything like that. The price is just talking about how many loaves you're making in one swoop, and you know, how many loaves am I baking on Yantav? On Yantav, you're allowed to cook for Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. So the Tana of the Braisa says, you can't make pot ava. I shouldn't make, go crazy. But in other words, I shouldn't make 20 loaves if I only require 5 loaves. That's tircha she'elein etzricha. That's effort that I don't require to do on Yantav. And Beit Hillel holds that the loaves taste better when they're cool cooked together. So therefore they hold it as a Tzorech Yantav. Okay, first let me hear from Odeid. Odeid, do you want anything about, does the loaf taste any better when, as far as you know, when you cook a lot of loaves together as opposed to one loaf? I can't hear you. You got to unmute yourself. Unmute.
Come
here. Here you go.
In the old days when you used like, how do you call this? Chemar, like a stone oven with wood inside. So, yeah, more bread inside. You have more steam, and then it rises better.
But does it taste better? Does the loaves taste better? You know,
if when it rises more, it tastes better. Yeah, well, but right. You use that more loaf mean you have more steam in the oven. You use the water in the bread to create steam, and then it can rise. Otherwise,
All right.
I hope it makes sense.
All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good?
Does Beit Hillel have a limit? How many loaves?
What is the maximum? In other words, you're not allowed, if you need 8, you're not allowed to make 16 or 20, you make 10?
Yeah, so let me see. For Beit Hillel, you mean?
Yeah, just to have a couple of extra in case you need it.
Okay, just one minute.
Or you can't do that either. That's the exact.
Yeah. So what I see is there's a blurb in footnote 12 in the art scroll. They said the bread is that is needed for yon to bake better when the oven is full. So it sounds like as long as you fill up the oven, that would cap it. That's the way it sounds like. I don't know anything more than that. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. I'm going on.
It said, like, is this Siman Taf Kuf Zayin? They saying in that mutar lefot tanur male pat biyom tov.
Right. Okay.
That's the psak, but
All right. Let's take. I don't know, but if that's what you see there, that's what must be. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it says that in the Gemara, there's, you know, we normally pass on like Beis Hillel, and then we have the letter here like Beis Hillel. So it sounds like that would be the way it would go. Okay. So the fourth wide line on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, so everybody mute themselves again. Let me mute everybody again. 1 second. Let me mute everybody. Okay. All right. Now, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Yotzin Bepat Nakia. Bepat Nakia is like a very fine flour. The flour has been well sifted, so it's like a high-grade matzah. He says, Uva hadra'a, very coarse flour. In other words, even though it has to be lechem oni, you had yesterday's daf as well, but I could, if it's very sifted, you could still be yotze without matzah. Eki yotze b'hadra'a is very coarse flour. Uva shrikin ha-mitsuyir b'pesach. Shrikin ha-mitsuyirin means like sort of, I don't know, you would like this, Odeda, like designer matzahs. It means like you're designing like shapes or picture on the matzah. And shrikin is connected, they said, to the word masreik, is like a comb, like you're piercing the matzah. He says, afal pish even though, because I'll teach us, you shouldn't make the shrikin ha-mitzuyir b'pesach. So it means, even though they said don't make it, if you did make it, you're yotze the mitzvah with that matzah. He says, now, even though it says Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it should be Rebbe Yehuda, because it's Tana here. Amar Rebbe Yehuda, the bar says, sha'al baitus ben zunin l'chachamim. So baitus ben zunin, he asked the chachamim, ne'am amru enosin shrikin ha-mitzuyir b'pesach. Why is it that you don't permit? What's wrong with making shrikin ha-mitzuyarim? In other words, I have a matzah and I want to design a picture on the matzah. So what's wrong with that? So amru lo mivnei sha'isha shu'alo machametzah, because a woman takes so long to make this picture, it becomes chametz. In other words, like the clock is running once you mix the flour with the water, and then she's going to make this whole picture. It's more likely to become chametz. So let me just. So he says, Amar Lahem, so Baitus Ben Zunin said to the Chachamim, Efshar Yaser B'Tfus, V'Yikavena Kivan, that you could just have a stamp. I'll have a stamp with the design on it, you know, bang, and then I have the picture. And V'Yikavena, and we're around the eighth wide line, Michael, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. He says, so you'll be Koveya that. V'Yikavena Kivan means, here it means like, you'll be Koveya quickly. You'll do it quickly, and it'll be chick-chock. So he says, Amru Lo, the Chachamim said back to Zunin, Baitus Ben Zunin, Yomru Klo Shrikin Asurin Shriki Baitus Mutarin. In other words, you'll have the stamp. You think people are all going to say, oh, well, you know, Baitus has got a stamp, that's why it's permissible. Every other one is prohibited. They're going to, like, be Madama Milta Milta. You're right. With the stamp, technically, it's not a problem, but it's going to lead to a lot of confusion on the part of the people. So we're just making one rule, no design or matzahs. Amar Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok, Pamachat Nechnasti Echar Abba Lebeit Rabbi Gamliel. So Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok says, once I entered after following my father to the house of Rabbi Gamliel, it was an Asi, and they brought in front of him, I wasn't sure whether Lefanov was Rabbi Gamliel or his father Reb Tzadok, but it sounds like it's his father. They brought in front of him Shrikin Mitzurim Pesach. So Amarti Abalo Kachamu Chachamim Enosin Shrikin Mitzurim Pesach. Didn't they say, like, how can they bring the Shrikin Mitzurim? How can they have these designer matzahs? I thought you're not supposed to make designer matzahs on Pesach. So Amar Lis Bini. So my father said to me, my son, Lo Shel Kol Adam Amru, Ela Shel Nachtomim Amru. The only ones they said are prohibited are the bakers. I think you'll like this Dapo date. He says, let's take a look at the Rashi. El Shenach Tomim, Ha'osin Limkor, Umakpidim Al Noyan, Meshoin Al Tsiurin. The bakers, the professional bakers, are very meticulous. they take a long time with these designer matzahs, but everyone else is permissible, is permitted. That's according to this version. Then he says, Ikadamri, others say, Hachi Kamarle, this is what the father said to Reb Tzadok, Lo Shel Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok. This is what Reb Tzadok said to his son Reb Lazar. He says, Lo Shel Nachtom Amru. They didn't say, so in the first version, the householder's designer matzah is permissible because you don't spend so much time with it. It's just the professional bakers spend a long time with it. That's prohibited. The second version is they said, Hachi kamarle, lo shel nachtomim amru. They didn't say, elishel kol adam. In other words, that the professional baker's designer matzah is permissible because they do it, they're baki, and they have stamps, so they do it. They do it quickly. But the one that they prohibited, El Shel Kol Adam, the householders was prohibited. So there's two versions in this story with Rabbi Gamliel. So it's either that the professional baker's matzah is prohibited because they spent a lot of time making it all perfect, and then that's likely become chametz. Or the second version is that the professional baker, they have a stamp, they do it quickly, and the garden variety person is prohibited. All right, let's just summarize again what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so we just did this braisa, and the basic idea of the braisa, we mentioned that your yotze with pat nekiya, if it's a very high quality matzah or a very poor quality matzah. But your yotze also with streaking a mitzvah of Pesach, these designer matzahs where there's a design, a picture on the face of the matzah. So, but l'chachil, you shouldn't do it, is what the Tana of the Braisa says. And then this fellow, Baitus Ben Zunin said, look, I could have a stamp and it won't take, the concern is that it'll become chametz while the person is designing the picture. So Baitus Ben Zunin said, but I have a stamp, it won't take too long. But they said, gee, but people won't understand. You have a stamp, they don't have a stamp. They won't get the whole picture with that. Then the Gemara brings this incident with Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok. He says he followed his father to the house of Rabbi Gamliel, and they brought apparently in front of the father these streaking mitzvah of Pesach, these designer matzahs. So it sounds like they were using designer matzahs. So in that last story with Reb Lazar Bar Tzadok, the father answered him one of two answers. He said, either that the only one that's prohibited is the professional baker because they spend a lot of time preparing it. They want everything, to look perfect. But a regular person could have designer matzahs, or it's punctfakert the other way around, that the baker has got a stamp. He does it quickly. But the balabas is the one who's like delays too much with it, and that's what's prohibited. So whichever one is permissible, that's what they had in Rami Gamliel's household. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good?
What was the point of making designer matzahs to begin with?
I guess, they just thought it looks nicer. It's like why do you, design fancy cake? You have like a picture on a cake or something.
Yeah, but they said like make it into figures. Isn't that like a Voda Zora?
Well, it depends what picture you're making on it. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, look at the challahs in the five towns. It's also like all the shmears on top of it looks like sushi.
Yeah,
it's also Avodah Zarah, my man.
Let me see. Let me see what Rashi says about what pictures they would do. One second. He just says they would be designs on it.
You could sell it for a higher price.
He does say they quote in footnote 15 that they would have animal forms on it. He does say, but there's some sort of etchings. All right. All right. I'm going to move on. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Let's go into the next piece of Gemara. All right. So now the Gemara gets everybody mute themselves. So the Gemara gets into let me just do this one second. All right, now the Gemara gets into a discussion about the dinim of challah, and challah, there's a mesechet challah, just mishnayot and shas, and you know that when you have dough, you separate out a certain portion to give to the kohen, but if something is like challah, it means it's like something that you make hamotzi on. If it's not challah, you wouldn't make hamotzi on it. Let's take a look. So the Gemara, so we was near the.
Did you do Amar Rabbi Yossi?
I'm sorry, I skipped one line. Thank you so much. See, so Amar Rabbi Yossi, Osin Srikin, Kamin Rikikin, Vinosin Srikin, Kamin Gluskaut. The Tana Rabbi Yossi says, this is still part of the Brisa from before, you can make Srikin that are like Rikikin, like flat wafers, but you can't make Srikin, Kamin Gluskaut. I can't make Srikin if it's like a thick loaf. I can't make Srikin out of it. It sounds like it's an aggravating factor. More likely to become chametz that way. All right. Now, I need a small aleph. So we have Tana Rabbanan, but the Bach says it should be Tanana Tan. We learn in the Mishnah over Masechet Challah. It says Hasufganin, which is like a type of sponge loaf, but Duvshanim, which is like a honey loaf, but Iskaritin is the like a loaf that's made with a very thin batter. He says wafers is what they translate it. But chalat hamasreit, he says a pan loaf. So the pan loaf we'll see in a minute. He said the Gemara is going to define it in a minute. He says bahameduma. Meduma is in. So we had those four. Now I have meduma. Meduma is something that with truma and chulin are mixed together. Paturin minachala. So the first four are going to be one category. We'll see what it's doing with that. It's either going to be that they're fried or that they're baked in the sun, that's why they're patur. But the meduma is patur min chala because if it's already truma, chala is non-truma, and then I'm separating it, it becomes, you know, one of the manos kuna. If it's already truma, it's patur from chala. Okay, so now another Gemara says, my chala ramasrate, what's the fourth one? Chala ramasrate, the pan chala. Amishman Levi ze chalut shabalabatim. That's the loaf that was scalded by the balabatim. All right, now, Amar Reish Lakish. Now, Reish Lakish is not relating to Rabbi Shimon Levi. Reish Lakish is explaining what's the patur. So again, we had five types of challahs or five types of loaves that are patur from challah. So Amar Reish Lakish, halalu masa ilfasein. So Reish Lakish says that they're fried. In other words, the ilfas, these are fried challahs. So they're fried. So they're not chayiv in challah. In other words, it has to be bread in order to be chayiv in challah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Masi Ilfis chayav. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Masi Ilfis was fried. It would be chayiv in challah. He says, v'halalum sha'asan b'chama. These were baked in the sun. Baked in the sun is not chayiv in challah. Okay. So again, the basic idea is, so we quoted this Mishnah from Masechet Challah, and we learned that there are a whole series of loaves that are patur from challah, and there's a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Never mind the fifth one, meduma, but the first four, why are they patur? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, is because they're masi ilfas, they're fried, so they don't qualify as bread. And according to Reish Lakish, if they're fried, they would be chayev, but it's because they were baked in the sun. That's what I flipped the names here. I'm sorry. Let me say it again. According to Reish Lakish, because they're fried. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be chayev even though they're fried, but it's because they're baked in the sun. That's why they're patur. All right? Everybody good? All right. Let me go further. Now, Meitvei, so we ask a question against Reish Lakish from the following Braisa. Again, so Reish Lakish says, if it's fried, it's not challah. So Meitvei, hasufganin v'duvshanin v'iskaritin, you have the sufganin, or like the sponge challahs, the sponge loaf, the honey loaf. This karitin we said was the wafers. He says asa'an be'ilfis chayavin. If you fried it in a pan, they are chayav and chala. B'chama p'turin. If you cook them in the sun, bake them in the sun, they're p'turin. So that brisa sounds like an all fours, like Rabbi Yochanan looking bad for Reish Lakish. He says, so tiyufta the Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So it sounds like Reish Lakish is all upgeschlacht. It sounds like if it is fried, then it is chayav and chala. So Amar Ula, Amar Lach Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So Ula said, what Reish Lakish would answer you is Hachmai Eskenin Shir Tiach Sof Hidbik. If I heat up the pan and then I put the dough in it, so that's close enough to baking to be chayav in it, even though it's fried. Aval Hidbik Sof Hir Tiach. But if I attach the dough to the pan and then I heat it up afterwards, he says, my hachanami to paturin. So that we think would be patur. So Reish Lakish has a way out of it. Reish Lakish says, if you heat up the pan ahead of time, even though it's fried, I hold your chayiv in that case. And that's the case that the Braisa, he would say, he's talking about it. But the Gemara says, but if he didn't heat up the pan ahead of time, it would be patur. So if that's true, at the Tani Sefer, now the Braisa is teaching me a case when I'm chayiv and kesen I'm patur. So the Tana usually keeps it like clean and narrow. So he says like this. So Adatani Sefer Asan Bechama Paturin. So why does the Tana teach me the case if I bake it in the Sanam Patur? He says, Liflog Bulit Nebedida. If Reish Lakish is correct, the Tana should stay to the same narrow fact pattern and say, Bagam Urim Kilchirtich Lemsof Hidbik. If he heated up the pan and then he attaches the dough, then he's chayev. He says, Aval Hidbik Lemsof Hirtiach. But if he attached the dough and then he heated it up, Turin. So why does the Tana not teach me that way? In other words, that's a cleaner way. In other words, you just change the fact pattern in the least possible way. We've had this many times in Shas. That's the way the Braisa would normally go. So the fact that the Tana doesn't do that sounds like not like Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, no. Chisuri Master of Ahaki Katani. Reish Lakish would say that the Braisa is as if it's missing words, and this is the way we should understand the Braisa. He says, Ba'med v'rim shir tiyach l'vosov hidbik. When is he chayev? If he heated up the pan and then he attached the dough. He says, "Bal hibikel b'sof hirtiach." But if he attached the dough and then he heated up the pan, nasa kamisha asan b'chama upturin. That's the same as if it would be heated up in the sun and it's patur. Okay, so the basic idea we had, again, so according to Reish Lakish, if it's fried, it's patur from challah. But then we had a brice that says that it's fried and you're chayev in challah. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish is going to say that Bryce is talking about where the pan was heated up ahead of time and then the dough was attached to it. Then he concedes, then it's chayv and challah. But where it's just fried regularly and then the heat is applied to it, it's not chayv and challah. Let me do a few more lines and I'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? So five lines from the bottom. Tashma. So the Gemara has, 1 second. Yeah, okay, now there's another question against Reish Lakish. Now, usually Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, who usually wins? We all know. Who's usually successful? Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. I can't hear anybody because everybody's muted. Michael, what do you want to say? Yeah, okay.
Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, so 99% of the time it's Rabbi Yochanan. This is going to be a case where Reish Lakish is the one who comes out on top. So that's the way it sounds like from the Gemara. Okay, so we have another question against Reish Lakish. He says, four lines to the bottom. Tashma, Yotzin b'matza hina, uv'matza asuya b'ilfas. Now we're coming back to Pesach. So the Tana of the Brice says, you can be Yotze, the mitzvah matza, b'matza hina. Matza, the word hina is cognated with the word na, al toklu mimenu na. Don't eat the Korban Pesach half-cooked. Nah. So you could be Yotzei with a half-cooked matzah, which is really unusual. You know, it doesn't take much to cook a matzah. But a half-baked matzah, uva matzah hasuya b'ilfas. And you can make also be Yotzei with a matzah that was fried in a pan. So that's not looking good for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, it's not chayv and challah, so it's not bread. And yet here the Braisa says, you could be Yotzei with the fried matzah. So hachinami shirtiach b'sof hidbik. So I'll say here also, we're talking about when the pan was heated up ahead of time, then the dough was attached, and Reish Lakish concedes in that case. Now, the Gemara, having brought up this braisa, says, my matzah hina. What's matzah hina? What's a half-cooked matzah? So Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, kol sheporsa vein chutin m'shach en imena. So it means, how much does it have to be cooked in order to be yotzei? In other words, not fully cooked. How much does it have to be cooked in order to be yotzei? The minimum amount. So he says, as long as you cook it, you break it, and strings of dough don't pull out afterwards. You got strings of dough, you know you got problems. But as long as the strings of dough don't come out of it, you're in good shape. So Amar Rava, b'chein lach meitoda. Rava says the same thing would be true by lach meitoda, meaning that when a person brings a korban toda, he brings 40 loaves of bread with it, 30 or different types of matzahs, and 10 or chametz. Chametz is very unusual in the base of Mikdash. So by lach meitoda, they also have to be baked at least a minimum so you don't have strings of dough when you break it. So the Gemara says pshita, that's obvious. Hachalechem k'tiv, hachalechem k'tiv. It says lechem by the mitzvah matzah, lechemoni. And it says lechem here, the art scroll, I tell you, the Masipta disagreed with the art scroll, and I think the Masipta was much more correct. There's a pasuk. It says, "Al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano." And that should be it. The R school, I think, conked out, at least in my R school, it says in footnote 41, it says both challah and matzah describe as bread. So it's not, I don't think, it's not the description of challah, it's the description of the korban. It says, I'll chalot lechem chametz. Anyway, so it's called lechem. So they each called lechem. He says, so why would I think there's any difference between the mitzvah matzah and the mitzvah badalach metoda? So menu, turn page on the top line on Lamed Zayin Beis 37b, echad mikol korban. So it says, echad mikol korban means one of each type of matzah I have to give to the Kohen. I have 40 loaves, four of the loaves are going to the Kohen. Again, there's three different types of matzah, so and one of chametz. So each one of each I give to the korban. Echad mikol korban, echad shloito parus. He says that it can't be a broken matzah. He says, v'hacha k'man deprisa damya. Here, and the Masifti here quoted Rashi in Menachot, he said that it's more likely to break if it's not fully cooked. I guess when it gets cooked, it's like harder or whatever. So he says, so I would think it's like k'man deprisa damya. So it's, like, it's half cooked. It's like broken because it's more likely to break. So kamashmalan, that no, half cooked is good there as well. All right. So again, so the basic idea again is that Reish Lakish holds that a loaf of something that's been fried doesn't qualify for the mitzvah of challah, and yet we had learned here in this braisa that a matzah could be fried. So if it doesn't qualify for challah, it can't be yotzei with the mitzvah matzah. So the Gemara says, no, this is also, Reish Lakish has an exception. If the pan has been heated ahead of time, then Reish Lakish says in Hachinami, then it's bread and you yotzei the mitzvah matzah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts? And we also had the previous sugya, which was about, we did that already, right? About where you heat it up ahead of time. That's the same idea. Okay.
Why is that dispositive?
Which part?
Heating it up ahead of time.
Yeah, apparently, I assume if it's heated up ahead of time, maybe it cooks in a different fashion. Maybe it's more closer to baking. I don't know what to say, even though it's being
fried. But it's still on the stove.
In other words, it's like, again, it's in an oven and it's in a pan. So like the pan, I assume they said is being fried. So I assume there's oil there. But I guess if it's heated up ahead of time, I assume that the baking process is much quicker and it's much more similar to baking as opposed to frying.
He didn't say anywhere fried. He said nefta.
Where were you reading that? What does it say?
It says tashma yitzim matzav yinei matzav suya bilpas. Ilpas is a saucer. It's a small name shirtiach ulvasof idbik that boiled or heat it up. I don't know what it means, yirtiach, but then they said not water. Shirtiach means that it, yirtiach means boiled.
Boiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will have a soft heatbeak that maybe the gluten, it got stuck because the
dough. All right. But I'm following with the way the art school has. The art school has about being fried. That's why I see it frying. Okay.
They like fried food in there also.
All right. One second. Let me see.
Yeah.
Give me one second. Yeah. All right. But it's not being baked. Rashi says on the third and fourth wide line, Masi Ilfasein, Lepichach Lav Lechem Hu, Dekasavar, Ein Lechem Elav Fui Betanur. Lechem is the only one that's baked in an oven. But they said fried, so I'm going to go with fried. It works out well for me. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara. All right, now we're on the second line on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, Odeid, please. Okay, remember to mute yourself, Odeid, okay?
I don't talk at the front time.
No, okay, now it's better. Okay, good. Now, so we're the second line on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Now, we're going to ask a question against Rabbi Yochanan. This is a long question. It takes like 20, 30 lines to develop this question. And this is really what's going to be like the nail in the coffin for Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. So Rabbi Yochanan held that Masei Ilfus is Chayev, that if it's fried, it's Chayev, according to Rabbi Yochanan, but it's only when it's Masei Chama, then it's not Chayev in it. Okay, so Meitfei, so this is a question. Now, this question is from a Mishnah Masechet Challah. I don't know why. The article said it was a Braisa, but it's a Mishnah. But strangely enough, the Masifta also identified it as a Braisa. So I don't know why they both said a Braisa. You could see it's a Mishnah Masechet Challah. Anyway, Meitvei, we ask, HaMe'isa, and the Gemara is going to identify what Me'isa is. It's something that has scalding. In other words, the flour is getting scalded by water in addition to being fried or baked. HaMe'isa, in other words, sounds like a bagel type of thing. HaMe'isa, Beit Shammai Potrim, Beit Hillel Mechayvin. In other words, just is it Chayvin Chal or not? So Beit Shammai says you're Potter, Beit Hillel says you're Chayev. Hechlita is also a type of scalding. Beit Shammai Mechayvin, Beit Hillel Potrim. Now the Gemara is going to say that we don't know this yet, that that the din of Me'isa and Chalitza is really the same, and the Tana who taught one line is not the Tana who taught the other line. So if you hold Me'isa is Patur, you're going to hold Chalitza is Patur. If you hold Me'isa is Chayev, you're going to hold Chalitza is Chayev. And there's just two versions about Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, whether Beit Hillel Beit Shammai are following their usual sheet to Beit Hillel is Mekil and Beit Shammai is Machmir, or is this atypical? He says, Ezu HaMe'isa v'Ezu HaChalitza. What's HaMe'isa, what's HaChalitza? HaMe'isa Kemach shel gabei muglashin. If I pour the flour on top of the boiling water, that's HaMe'isa. Hechlita muglashin al gabei kemach. Hechlita is when I pour the boiling muglashin is the boiling water. I pour the boiling water on top of the flour. So it's flour on top of water, water on top of flour. Either way, the flour gets scalded, and then afterwards, it's either fried or baked. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, Zev Zev Lav Tur. He says both of them, he says that there was no machlok at Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, and that both of them, Hemisa Nechlita, your patur from Chala, he says, Va'amri lo Zev Zelachiv. And others say no, that he actually said that both of them, there's no machlok, they're both Chayev. But Chachamim Omrim, here's the key line that we want to remember, the Shita of Chachamim. Chachamim Omrim, Echadze v'echadze asan be'ilfas, if afterwards he puts it in an ilfas and he fries it, so he scalded it and now he's frying it, it's patur. B'tanur chayev, but if he puts it in an oven and bakes it, then he's chayev. Okay, so we're not getting to the question yet, we will get to it, but obviously it's coming out that according to the Chachamim, if you make it an ilfas, you're patur from chala, and we know that Rabbi Yochanan said if you make it an ilfas, you should be chayev in chala. That's what we learned. So let's take a look. Now, first the Gemara has to clean up this braisa, then we'll oppose our question, and then we'll try to answer it. But Tana Kama, going back to the Tana Kama, which is like line 3 and line 4 in this column, Maishna Himisa, Maishna Hechlito. Why does the Tana, now I gave you based on the Maskana, he says, why does the Tana make a difference in its holding between the Me'isa and the Chalita? In other words, the HaMe'isa, Beit Shammai says, Patur, Beit Hillel says, Chayev. Hechlita, Beit Shammai says, Chayev, Beit Hillel says, Patur. It's just the opposite one for another. Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan, it should be. This is the side of correction, Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yudah said to Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan also said, V'itim Rav Shuban Levi, others say Rav Shuban Levi said it, Kim Machloket B'zu, Kach Machloket B'zu. Just like there's a Machloket by Yemisa, the same Machloket exists by Hechlita, V'tavra, but the two lines contradict one another, Mish Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. In other words, there's two versions about what Beit Hillel Beit Shammai said. In other words, HaMe'isa and Hechlita have the same din. It doesn't make a difference if the water is poured on the flour first or the flour is poured on the water first, and then it's fried or it's baked. They both hold the same, but there's different versions about what is Beit Shammai the one who patters or is Beit Hillel the one who patters. But the one who taught one line of the Braisa is not the one who taught the other line of the Braisa. Anyway, now the Gemara cuts to the chase, though. Katani Mia, the bottom line is that we learned in the Braisa, the Chachamim Omri, Mechadze, Mechadze, Shasan, Be'ilfas, Patur, Betan, Rechayev, that the Chachamim say that if after the scalding process you then fried it, then it's Patur. And then if you baked it, it's Chayev. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, and when you fry it, it should be Chayev. And yet the Chachamim say you fry it, it's Patur. So that's not looking good for Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, there's a kasha now against Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that? So Amar Lach Rabbi Yochanan Tanayi. Rabbi Yochanan said, look, I can't deny it. The Chachamim do say that. But It's a machloket tanaim. That's always the fallback position. You know, if an amora, like an amora is not going to be cholik with a tana, and then if you really have him in a corner, it's if he can, he'll say it's really a machloket tanaim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right, the chachamim is clearly not the way I was saying, but it's a machloket tanaim, I think. Now, Tatani, we learn in the Braisa. Now, Tosfos points out, in the second Tosfos, that we don't have to go to this other Braisa, because in the Braisa we just quoted above, remember we said that according to Rabbi Yossi, Zev Zelachiv, according to Tana Rabbi Yossi, there's no machloket, that both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that whether Hamisa or Hechlita, and then whatever you do with it, you are obligated in the Kala. But Tosfos says, we want to have a situation where there's two versions of Rabbi Yossi. Some say Zev Zelav Tor. So we want to have a situation where it's ironclad, a position that like is identical to Rabbi Yochanan. At least that's what we're hopefully looking for. So I'm like Rabbi Yochanan Tanayi. Rabbi Yochanan says Machlokan Tanayim. Titania, Yechol Yehei Mi'isa V'chaluta Chayavim V'chala. I might have thought the Mi'isa V'chaluta, again, the scalded flour, is Chayav and Chala, I might have thought. Talmud Lomar Lechem. So the Torah says Lechem, it's not Lechem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't Lechem el afui betana. Rabbi Yochanan says only Lechem is baked in an oven. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda ainu tana kama. Rabbi Yehuda Lekora is saying the same thing as the tana kama. It's got to be baked. Hamisa chalita. It's not working out. El lav maase ilfas ikabeinai. Is it not that the point of dispute between the tana kama and Rabbi Yehuda is maase ilfas, meaning tana kama savar maase ilfas chayavin. In other words, the tana kama holds. Where the Tana Kama said that that in other words, if it's just scalded, then it's patur, it's lechem. But if then it's cooked fried, it would be chayev. And Rabbi Yehuda holds no. Even if you fried afterwards, it has to be baked in an oven before it's chayev. That's what we think. He says Rabbi Yehuda savar maase ilfas paturin. Okay, let's just stop for 1 second. So if this is the correct interpretation of the Braisa, so then this point of Rabbi Yochanan is really the sheet of the Tana Kama, right? The Tana Kama holds that if it's just me'is and chaluta, it's patur, but if then I fry it, I'll be chayev, and Rabbi Yehuda says frying won't do anything for you, but if you bake it in the oven, then it will be chayev. If that's the case, then we have a Tana that will agree with Rabbi Yochanan that frying is enough to be chayev you on challah, and we think that would work well for him. So the Gemara says, "Lo, the kuliyam maase ilfas paturin." I can say, "No, everybody holds maase ilfas is paturin. Frying, no Tana holds that way." B'hacha gon shechazar v'afo b'tanur. The point of dispute is after you scalded it, now you baked it in an oven. That's the point of dispute. So I scalded this flour, it's like a bagel or something like that, and then I baked it in an oven. He says, the Tana Kama Sabar, Kim Sarva Afo Batanu or Lechem Korean Bay. Tana Kama holds if you baked it in an oven, so I don't care that it was scalded before, it now it's called Lechem. Rabbi Yehuda Savar ain lechem lefui betanur meikara. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. To be bread is something baked from the get-go in an oven. That's bread. Became it to be kara la betanur afya lav lechem hu. So since it was never baked in the oven from the get-go, it's not lechem. All right. So we started off this whole sugya with about this frying the dough. And whether that constitutes, you know, is that bread or not? So Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shlach said no, it's not bread if it's fried. Rabbi Yochanan says it was, and we think we have a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. Let me just do a few lines, and I will pause. He says, now according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not baked from the get go, it's not bread. So Amar Rava, my Tana is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that says it's got to be baked from the get go? Dechtiv Yafu Esther Nashim Lach Mechem Tanur Echad. It says this is talking about in the Tochacha when you know things are going to be bad. You're going downhill, and you'll have you know like 10 women cooking one loaf of bread type of thing, but they're cooking in one oven. They're cooking one loaf. Lechem afoi betanur echad, bread that's cooked in one oven, karu lechem. Shena afoi betanur echad in karu lechem. If it's not cooked in one oven, it's not called a bread. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything they did so far? Michael, you look troubled. What's up?
Does this have any relationship with making motzi on a product that's boiled before being baked.
Yes.
If possible.
Yeah, I think absolutely, absolutely.
Like a bagel?
The controversy of whether you make a mozi on a bagel.
Yeah, so I think this would bear into it, certainly, because if it's, that's what he says, it's not lechem. So I don't know, by bagels, I think people say that you that you would make a mozi. But the thing is, I don't know how to distinguish. The bagel is scalded and then baked. We were talking about...
It's not really baked, you just get the color.
All right.
You can eat it without baking. The reason it goes into the oven for 30 seconds and a minute is to get the shiny color.
It could be, but I think that counts as a type of baking. So it's scalded and then quote unquote baked. So the question is, so scalded. Now now the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that would not be lechem according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but let's see back again here 1 second. Right, that gufa was the machloket, right? In other words, if it's scalded and then baked, that gufa is the machloket in this brisa, according to the maskana. So the Tana Kama holds, if it's scalded and then baked, it's bread. So it would be like lechora, I assume we're following the Tana Kama with this, like scalding and then baking, we're counting as being bread, I would think. But I need to look into it more. That's what I would think. All right. Or any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
So maybe tomorrow you could tell us what the different opinions are on the bracha for a bagel.
As far as, okay, believe that, I'll look into it. I mean, as far, the standard halacha, when you're having your koveya suda, I don't think there's any question you make hamotzi on it.
It's controversial. Some people...
I think like the tzad that's saying that's mizonot, I don't think that really cuts it, frankly. But believe that, I'll look into it. Now let's take a look for, okay, 1 minute. You know, I have my Brachos book here. Let me look, give me a 10-second look right now. One of the advantages of being
you missed that sound.
I can't tell you how I was thinking about that the other day, Michael. All right, let me see what he has to say here about bagels. Let me see, bagel. Yeah, bagels hamotzi, 467. Right. He says it's like uses the mainstay for the meal. All right, let me look more into it. But I think the simple shot is you make hamotzi on it. Okay, I'll bleed that out. Look at them until more tomorrow. Okay, now let me go back. All right, let's take a look. Okay, so I'm going on. So we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Okay, so Yativ Rabba of Rav Yosef Achori de Rabbi Zeir. So Rab and Rav Yosef are two bar pluktus throughout Shas. Remember, we mentioned before, it's last sugi in Brachot. Remember that Rav Yosef was the Sinai and Rabba was the Oker Harim. Anyway, but they're the two bar pluktus throughout Shas. He says, so they're sitting behind Rabbi Zeira. The Yativ Rabbi Zeira Kami de Ula. And Rabbi Zeira is fitting in front of Ula. Ula is like the Magid Shir. Rabbi Zeira is in the front row. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef in the second row. Amrli Rabbi the Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Zeira, who's in the row ahead of him, he says, Ba'aymine me Ula, I want you to pose the following question to Ula. Hidbik mi bifnim v'hirtich mi b'chutz. If you have, you know, this role, in other words, if... where you attach the bread to the pan and then you heat it up. Ma, what's the halacha? And then you fry it. What's the din? So Amarle, my Emily, what am I to say to him? Diaminale, if I would say that to him, Amarle, he would say to me, Haininu Maase Ilfis. That's just Maase Ilfis. And Maase Ilfis was subject to Makloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So what do you want me to ask him? Like, I'm going to look ridiculous asking this. It's just Makloka, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay. Amrli Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yosef, who's next to Rabba, again in the second row, he said to Rabbi Zeira, Baumi Nemi Ula, I'd like you to ask Ula the following question. Hidbikmi Bifnim Bavuka Kenegdo. Let's say he attaches the dough to the pan. Again, it's like frying, but there's avuka connected. The heat, instead of being underneath the pan, the heat is coming from on top of the pan. He says, Mahu. So Amalei, Maya Amalei, what do you want me to ask him? He says, if I say this to him, Amarli, he's going to say to me, Rovanim osin kein. Most of the poor people, that's the way that they do it in order to conserve fuel, he says here. So that's a normal frying method. So it's also part of the same machloket between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we'll just begin the next sugya, and then this will, we'll continue on tomorrow night with this. Amar Rav Asi, Isa Shel Maaser Sheni. Now, Isa of Maaser Sheni, Do of Maaser Sheni, says Machloket, is Maaser Sheni is to eat in Yerushalayim. I'm a farmer. I have Maaser Sheni, so I eat it in Yerushalayim. If I can't, if it's too much, I can't bring it to Yerushalayim, then I'm poda it with money, and then I bring the money to Yerushalayim, I buy food with it. So who's the Maaser Sheni belong to? So according to Remeir, Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. It belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, according to the way Remeir understands it. And according to Chamim, it's Mamon Hedyot. So let's take a look. So Amar Basi Isa Shemaser Shein Divrei Meir Ptur Menachalo. So it says Reishit Arisotechem, the first of your dough, but it's not your dough if it belongs to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So according to Meir, if it's dough that's been processed from Maaser Sheni, it's Ptur Menachalo. Divrei Chachamim Chayev Bechala. According to Chachamim, be Chayev Bechala. Okay, we have three machlokot in this. Lamed Chenam and Aleph. Matzot shel Maaser Sheni. Now, let's say it's a matzah of Maaser Sheni. He says, "L'divrei Remeir, ein adam yotzei ba'idei chovato b'pesach." According to Remeir, you don't fulfill your obligation with that matzah. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to ask, why not? But it doesn't say matzatchem. But the Gemara is going to learn you have to own your matzah in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. So if it's Maaser Sheni matzah, then you're not yotzei, according to Remeir. He says, "L'divrei Chachamim, yotzei ba'idei chovato b'pesach." According to Chachamim, it is your money, so it is your matzah, so you're yotzei the mitzvah. Then etrog shel Maaser Sheni. Let's say you have an etrog that came from Maaser Sheni. You were a farmer and you had an etrog bush, and now you have, you know, you had 100 estrogim and 10 estrogim were Maaser Sheni. The Divrei Remeir ein yotzei ba'yidei chovato b'yom tov. So according to the Chachamim, you can't fulfill the mitzvah arv aminim with the etrog of Maaser Sheni because it has to be your estrog. The Divrei Chachamim adam yotzei ba'yidei chovato b'yom tov. According to Chachamim, you could fulfill your obligation on yantiv. The Tzad HaShav and all these three dinim. So we have three dinim here. One is that is it chayv and chala? Can I fulfill the mitzvah matzah with it? Can I fulfill the mitzvah estrog with it? So in each one of these cases, the Gemara takes it as a given. You have to own it in order to A, be chayv and chala, B, to fulfill the mitzvah matzah, C, to fulfill the mitzvah of the arba minim. So in order, so according to Remeir, you don't own it. It belongs to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so you can't do those mitzvahs with it. And according to Chamim, you do own it, and you could fulfill the mitzvahs with it. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let me end the recording. Hang tight. Let me end recording.